And I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the sergeant-at-arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On Senator Pogemiller's motion, all in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails. Our chaplain this morning is the Reverend David Colby from Central Presbyterian Church in St. Paul.
Let us pray. Holy and mighty one, thank you for silence and the sense of possibility. Each session begins with a time of prayer, and in this time may we set aside for a moment our arguments and our positions we will defend. In this moment, may we feel a bond of unity with others here in this room and those beyond these walls. We pray for each person here today, those with whom we laugh and plot strategy, those whom we avoid and caricature. Remind us that we are all human here, and that our motivations are always a mixture of noble ideals and selfish needs. Help us remember the people we represent. We pray for those who are dying today, and for those who are expecting to give birth. For those in hospitals facing tests and procedures, and for those in school. We know too well, even as we try to forget it, that none of us knows exactly what the future holds. So we commit to using the moments and hours of today with a sincerity of purpose and an openness to joy. Grant unto us, O God, the fullness of your promises. Where we have been weak, grant us your strength. Where we have been confused, grant us your guidance. Where we have been distraught, grant us your comfort. Where we have been convinced we are right, grant us your compassion and love, even for those with whom we disagree. May we this day act in harmony with you and with your creative, loving intentions. Amen.
Very much.
The secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonoff, Carlson, Chaudhry, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Phoebe, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Ingebrigtsen, Johnson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Limmer, Lori, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, Pariseau, Perry, Pogemiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vanderveer, Vickerman, Wieger.
A quorum is present. We'll proceed to the third order of business, messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate files herewith returned. Senate file numbers 2475, 2580, 2852, and 2923, and 3091. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House. The next message is on Senate File 2808, Senator Scheid. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate file, as amended by the House, in which amendments of concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 2808, a bill for an act relating to liquor, clarifying a license provision for the City of Minneapolis, etc. Senate File 2808 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Elbin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. President, thank you. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 2808 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Senator Scheid has moved that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File number 2808 and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. And members, you may find the amendments in the House Journal, April 8th, pages 99, 100 to 99, 11. Third reading is in the Senate Journal is March 29th, page 91 and 9139. And members, it's getting a little noisy in here. We're going to be taking up messages from the House where the authors may be concurring with the changes. I think it's important that we all be able to hear what those changes are. Senator Schein.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is what was the omnibus, albeit somewhat smaller than usual, liquor bill that came out of the Commerce and Consumer Protection Committee. The House made some minor changes. The most significant one is probably language referencing a recent court case in having to do with dram shop insurance, and this kind of codifies what our Supreme Court ruled in a case. It has to do with amounts of coverage, and it appears to be not terribly controversial. The statute is vague in that area, and so this is taking care of that, and I would be very careful with that personally because I have strong feelings about that issue, and I think what we're doing there is okay. We sunsetted a provision having to do with Bemidji State. The House does not sunset that. That seems fine. And then the St. Thomas language, a bill from Senator Cohen, is limited now. It was for a liquor license for both of their campuses, but the residents in the St. Paul, near the St. Paul campus, did not want that. And I think I've understood that Senator Cohen is okay with that. The license will then be for the Minneapolis campus, which, as you know, is downtown Minneapolis. And that should do it. I appreciate your concurrence.
Is there discussion on Senator Scheid's motion? There being no discussion, Senator Scheid renews her motion that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate file number 2808, and that the bill be placed on its repassage as amended. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails. The Secretary will give Senate File 2808 its third reading.
Senate File 2808, a bill for an act relating to liquor, clarifying a license provision for the City of Minneapolis, etc.
The Secretary will take the roll. All senators voting who desire to vote, the Secretary will close the roll. There being 56 ayes, 5 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Erickson Ropes. Senator Erickson Ropes, we'll read the message first.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 3147, a bill for an act relating to health occupations. Senate File 3147 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House.
Senator Erickson Ropes.
Thank you. I move that the Senate do not occur in the amendments of the House to Senate File 3147, and that a subconference committee of 3 members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with and like a conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
Senator Erickson Ropes has moved that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File number 3147. Yeah. and that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails.
The next message is on Senate File 2912, Senator Berglund. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which amendments of concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File 2912, a bill for an act relating to human services, amending children's mental health policy provisions. Senate File 2912 is herewith returned to the Senate, signed Elvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives.
Senator Berglund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 2912 and that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
Senator Berglund has moved that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File Number 2912 and that a conference committee of three members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. We'll proceed now to the fifth order of business, first reading of House report of committees.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be now adopted.
On Senator Pogemiller's motion, all in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed? The reports of committees are adopted. We'll proceed now to the sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. Members, the Senate bills are listed on your agenda without exception, second reading. Proceed now to the seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. There are two on your agenda, so without exception, second reading. Introduction and first, we'll proceed now to the eighth order of business, first reading of Senate bills. And members, they are on your agenda and referred as indicated, first reading. Ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. There is one motion on the, one author of motion on the agenda. Without exception, that is adopted. Do we need to vote on that? We'll proceed to vote on the authorship motions. All in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. We have a Senate resolution that'll be referred to the Rules Committee. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, on motions and resolutions, I'd like the record to reflect a brief recess for the purpose of appointing a conference committee.
The Senate will be in, all in favor, signify saying aye. The Senate will be in recess. The Senate will be in order. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, is there a privilege report at the desk?
The Secretary report, the privilege report.
Senator Pogemiller from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as a conference committee on Senate File 2912, Senators Berglund, Coring, and Lynch. Senator Pogemiller moves the foregoing appointments be approved.
On Senator Pogemiller's motion to adopt the conference committee, appoint the conference committee, all in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails, and the conference committee is appointed. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, on motions, I'd move that we take up the general orders calendar.
On Senator Pogemiller's motion to take up the general orders calendar, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do now resolve itself into committee of the whole for purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On Senator Pogemiller's motion, all in favor indicate by saying aye. Opposed, the motion prevails. The committee will be in order. Senator Pogemiller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, there's a list on your desk of 6 bills that I'd like to designate for this afternoon or this morning, and I would yield to Senator Solon, Pretner Solon.
Senator Pretner Solon.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, House File 2907 be recommended to pass.
Senator Pretner Solon has moved that when this committee do arise, House File 2907 be recommended to pass. Senator Pretner Solon, on your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 2907 is the result of countless hours of work by the Minnesota Ultra High Speed Broadband Task Force members over a 2-year period. The Broadband Task Force was created as the result of a bill passed by our legislature in 2008. That same year, we required the mapping of existing broadband networks in our state. The work of the task force and the results of the Broadband Mapping Initiative have contributed to the recommendations in this bill. I want to thank the task force and its chair, Rick King, for their hard work, time, and money invested in this effort and to develop the recommendations in the bill. This bill sets aggressive goals to deploy broadband throughout the state and give access to all Minnesotans by the year 2015, with minimum download speeds of 10 to 20 megabits per second and minimum upload speeds of 5 to 10 megabits per second. The bill also states that Minnesota should be in the top 5 states in the country for broadband access and in the top 15 when compared to nations for global broadband penetration. The Department of Commerce will monitor the implementation of these goals and provide annual progress reports. Broadband connectivity represents a critical opportunity to make our state a more competitive place to do business. It gives educational institutions an opportunity for online learning, health institutions an opportunity for telemedicine, local units of government an opportunity to bring services to Minnesotans more efficiently, and so on. There are numerous opportunities. This bill is supported by the Department of Commerce and the telecom providers throughout the state. And that concludes my remarks, Mr. Chair, and I stand for any questions.
Is there discussion on House File 2907? There being no discussion, Senator Pretner Solon renews her motion that when this committee do arise, House File 2907 be recommended to pass. All in favor of that motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the motion prevails and the bill be recommended to pass. The author is out of the chambers, the next two bills. So, Senator Moi. Proceed to number 8 on the general orders list, Senate File 2642. Senator Moi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2642 be recommended to pass.
Senator Moi has moved that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2642 be recommended to pass. Senator Moi, on your motion.
Mr. Chair and members, this is the Revisor's Technical Corrections Bill. You may all be aware that each year we do two Revisor's Bills. One at the beginning of the legislative session that deals with cross-references, perhaps outdated references, misspellings, and things like that are technical corrections that the revisors pay attention to. Then at the end of the legislative session, usually the last bill that gets taken up on the floor is the revisor's end of the session technical corrections bills that makes corrections to bills that have passed and that have been signed into law. Unfortunately, last session, the end of the session technical corrections bills, even though the Senate acted on it, the other body didn't have the time to act on it. So the provisions that were in that end of the session technical corrections bill has been added to this session's beginning revisor's bill. And so I have before you, members, the revisor's technical corrections bill at the beginning of the legislative session, and it deals with many cross-references. It deals with making cross-references to federal language more readable. It also takes out outdated typographical, grammatical errors, and it replaces incorrect words, or it makes corrections for readability. There were also a list of sections that deals with miscellaneous drafting errors or omissions. We also take out a number of the sections obsolete or expired language that has either been removed or repealed. And then in a couple of the sections, as I mentioned earlier, we help the reader to specify federal or state citations by using their popular names instead of federal or state statutory numbers. And I think, members, that's kind of the majority of this bill. I guess if members have questions on specific sections, I could talk about them. But this is the revisor's technical corrections bill.
Discussion on the bill. Senator Pogermiller.
Would Senator Moi yield?
He will yield. Senator Pogermiller.
Senator Moi, it's my understanding, I've been checking with staff, that, and I think you just said that items that were in the end of session bill are in here except for language related to definitions in the environmental area. Is that correct?
Senator Moi.
Mr. Chair and members, I believe that is the case.
Then,
in this,
Mr. President.
Mr. Miller.
Senator Moi, would you, I'm asking for a favor, would you do me the favor of progressing your bill? Because I think we need to deal with the House on this issue.
Senator Glad Moi. To progress the bill.
Bill is progressed. Number 50 on general orders, House File 2624. Senator Anderson. Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2624 be recommended to pass. Excuse me, House File
2624. Senator Anderson, discussion on the bill.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the LCCMR, the Legislative Citizens Commission recommendation for 2011 spending for dollars from lottery funds, the remaining 40% of lottery funds that are constitutionally dedicated to projects to improve our environment and natural resources. And we have five commission members, as you all know, on the Senate side, five on the House side, and seven citizen members. The Senate members are myself, Senator Frederickson, Senator Pariseau, Senator Vickerman, who's our Senate chair, and Senator Chaudhry. And I would really love to ask each of them to make some comments in support of the bill if they would like to do so. I'm going to start by asking Senator Frederickson to talk about the process that we went through in putting the recommendations together, and then I will go over the dollar recommendations.
Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, members, these are the recommendations for expending money from the Environmental Trust Fund, as Senator Anderson told you. Presently, there's about $478 million in the corpus of the Environmental Trust Fund. We, by the Constitution, can spend up to 5.5% of the value of that Environmental Trust Fund. Currently, we receive about $35 to $36 million from the lottery to go into the Environmental Trust Fund, and that's going to continue until the year 2025. Besides the 10 legislators who are on the LCCMR, there are 7 citizens. Now, I'm going to briefly give you a generic description of who those citizens are. We have one professional wildlife biologist who has a PhD in wildlife biology, one of the national experts on upland game birds, particularly pheasants. We have another individual who is an expert on wildlife and their habitat, and particularly wolves. We have another individual who is a professional working geologist. We also have a professional working forester, an individual who spent his entire career in forestry. We have a Southern Minnesota farmland owner who is an expert on native prairie and prairie restoration. We have an educator who has spent many decades in education, particularly science and biology. And finally, we have an attorney who has spent most of his career in environment and natural resource law and also outdoor recreation. The process that you see the culmination of here today actually started in the fall of 2008, as we talked about what priorities we wanted to put, ask the public to submit proposals for the 2010 appropriations. In January of 2009, we asked for proposals from the public as to how they would like to see the money from their environmental trust funds spent for this year. In May 1st, was the deadline for submitting proposals. We received 240 proposals from citizens of the state of Minnesota for spending money from the Environmental Trust Fund. The 17 members of the LCCMR evaluated those proposals by criteria that we had in the request for proposals, and from that 240, we selected 85 to come before the commission for a half-hour presentation where we could question them about what their proposals are, what benefits with the environment and natural resources could expect to receive from their proposals, and we could question at length what they hope to accomplish. We say 30 minutes, but often members have questions of the presenters, and often those presentation goes beyond 30 minutes. From those 85 that we selected in for detailed explanation in front of the commission as to how their proposals would benefit Minnesota, we selected 48 that you see in this bill before you today. 17 of those 48 are research, and when there's a research component, are entirely research projects. We ask a peer review council to review the research to see if it is relevant, to see if it is laid out in a scientific regimen that we know is necessary to receive significant or valid results of that research project. And now, when this bill passes and becomes law, between the time it's signed into law on July 1st, the LCCMR will approve work programs for each of those to make sure that they are complying with the law and that the money is spent the way the legislature intends it to be spent. Members, I'm going to conclude my remarks just with the 6 areas where we ask for proposals in the request for proposals that were issued over a year ago. Number one, we ask for proposals in natural resource and data and information. We ask for proposals that dealt with land, habitat, and recreation. We ask for proposals dealing with water resources. We ask for proposals with aquatic and terrestrial invasive species. We ask for proposals within renewable education. And finally, the last category that we asked for proposals in was environmental education. So, Mr. Chairman, members, I appreciate the opportunity to share with you some of what we do at the LCCMR. I would like to say it's a real privilege to serve on the LCCMR. We hear experts from all across the spectrum of environment and natural resources. It is really probably a graduate program in environment and natural resource issues. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Senator Fredrickson. That was very comprehensive, and I just wanted to mention, Senator Vickerman will speak next, I believe. We have three members of the LCCMR, longtime Senate members who are retiring this year, and it's going to change the commission forever. And I just want to acknowledge Senator Fredrickson, Senator Vickerman, and Senator Parisot have all been on the commission and worked incredibly hard to put this package together, and I hope members appreciate all that hard work and good work that they put into this.
Senator Vickerman.
Mr. President, members of the Senate, I chair the LCCMR committee, and it's made up of 10 legislators and 7 citizen members put this package together. We started out with 240 proposals, which totaled $164 million. And then we worked through those, and we put a selected 85 proposals, and that was $81 million. The final recommendation, 48 proposals, was $26 million. And you know, members, some people say, well, you got your own pet projects in there. I have no project in here that's a pet project to me. They're all state projects, statewide projects. We work very hard. And I want to tell you, I have a cabin up north. Hopefully, I'll have time this fall to spend some time there. If it wasn't for land owned by the county or the DNR, I would sit on 5 acres. I just will stay home. I get to hunt on all that public land, so we need that. Just remember, members, we scrutinize these. They have to prove to us that they're worthwhile projects. They can't be in the bonding bill. If they're in the bonding bill, they don't qualify. So, members, I'd ask that you support this without any changes at all possible. It's a good bill. It's a good bill for the whole state of Minnesota, and it's a win-win situation for all of us. Thank you.
Senator Parisot.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to stand up and speak in favor of the bill. It's been kind of a good experience to be on the commission for hearing the proposals and doing the ratings and hearing all the possibilities of the outcomes and then watching them from year to year progress and move to other projects. Actually, one of the best things they've done with the commission is to put citizens on it, as the other commission has as well, the LHOC commission. And having regular citizens on there, they each come with their own expertise because they have fields of endeavor in their lives that qualify them for that particular kind of service. And they've been great to have as friends and colleagues on the commission, so it's been a great ride.
Senator Anderson, Senator Bach. Senator Bach.
Mr. President, I have the A4 amendment.
Secretary will report the Bach A4 amendment.
Senator Bach moves to amend House File 2624, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 6, delete line 8 and insert. This is amendment A-4.
Senator Bach on the amendment.
Mr. President, I might be a little bit premature. I'm not sure if Senator Anderson has walked through the bill yet, but I guess my amendment could probably more timely to be done now than before she walks through the bill. Members, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody in this chamber that we have a jobs crisis in this state. And I'm very troubled by the fact that in this bill is $4.2 million of land acquisition at a time when this state is starving for jobs. So knowing that, back in November, I wrote a letter, and I have handed it out on the floor. Back in November, I wrote a letter to Senator Vickerman and Representative Wagenius and Ms. Gibson, the co-chairs of the LCCMR. And in part, members, it says this. Back in November, before they finalized their recommendations, it says, every corner of our state has people needing a paycheck. While land acquisition and education-based proposals are also valuable, they oftentimes do not employ many people. Pushing some of these types of projects back a year or two may be necessary in favor of a comparably important one that creates jobs. Members, I don't think this is the year to be buying land. I think this is the year we should be trying to do something to create jobs so that our citizens can start to climb out of this recession. You know, the legislative auditor did a report on the DNR's management of state lands, and on the back side of my letter, you'll see that. And on the back side of the letter, this is one of the pages out of the legislative auditor's report that was made just about a month ago. It says the DNR appears to lack adequate resources to manage and maintain existing land holdings, although the full extent of the funding shortfalls is unknown. Members, the full extent is something in the neighborhood of $100 million of deferred maintenance all across the state in state parks. And now, in this bill, we're moving state park boundaries so that we can acquire another $4.2 million of land when we're not adequately maintaining what the state currently owns. And those are the comments from the legislative auditor, not from me. But members, what the jobs thing, and many of you have heard me talk about it at length this session, and I just had my staff print me the unemployment numbers here in Minnesota for this year. Members, in every single week of this year, on Fridays, every Friday of this year, over 210,000 Minnesotans have received an unemployment check. But even more troubling is the fact that for the last 7 weeks, for the last seven Fridays, over 500 Minnesotans have received their last unemployment check. Members, 500, 500, 500. We're talking about a lot of people here who have exhausted their regular unemployment and exhausted their unemployment extensions. This legislature needs to make creating jobs a priority in this session. You know, when Senator Lanxess' bill came to the floor, it was $1 billion, and I heard the number going around that it was going to create something like 20,000 jobs. So I did the math. I divided the 20,000 into $1 billion, and I came up with $50,000. So for every $50,000 that we spent in Senator Lanxess' bill, we thought that would create a job. So I did the numbers on what $4.2 million would create if we spent that on maintenance in our state parks. And that's what the amendment does, is it redirects the money from land acquisition to maintenance and improvements in our existing state park system. If you divide $50,000 into $4.2 million, you come up with 840 jobs. Members, 840 people will go to work and will be able to support their families if we make this little change. Not that land acquisitions aren't important. In fact, I would argue that I probably enjoy public land and treasure it as much as anybody in this chamber, And I know I have more of it in my district than any member of the legislature. And I enjoy it a great deal for recreation, as does my family. But in a year like this, it seems to me we ought to be able to put land acquisition off for a year or two, and we try to put Minnesotans to work. And then the other troubling piece is the other handout that I sent out, members. It says Lake County on one side and DNR on the other. Well, the side that says DNR is how it should be done when the DNR is going to make a land acquisition in one of our counties. And I put an asterisk by some of the wordage in the letter from the Division of Parks and Trails at DNR, and it says, this proposal was presented to the Cook County Board and approved on November 17th, 2009. That's 129 acres that the boundary's being moved in Judge Magny State Park. That's how it should be done. But the other side is from Lake County, from one of my commissioners, and this is what it says, and I underlined it for you. It's dated in late February. It says, it came as a complete surprise to us when we learned that the DNR brought forward a bill that would change the Split Rock State, the Split Rock Park boundary and take Lake County tax forfeited property without any compensation. Members, the next sentence is important. Our biggest issue is that no one even asked our opinion. Members, we cannot ignore our elected local government officials. And I think it is just plain wrong for the DNR to bring proposals to the legislature to take land off the tax rolls or take tax forfeited land and give local units of government no compensation, diminish their tax base. And members, in Lake County, where this letter came from, where we're proposing to expand the state park boundary, the government already owns over 80% of the land in the county. It seems to me reasonable that if we're going to take additional land and put it in state parks or into wildlife management areas or to scientific and natural areas, that we ought to give some consideration to the local units of government. This was very troubling when I got this letter that my Lake County commissioners didn't even know that the state was proposing to add this parcel of land into the state park boundary. Members, back to the jobs issue. We've got a lot of our constituents that are hurting. And in the building and construction trades, which is very dear to me because I've spent my life as a carpenter, 50% unemployment. Additional maintenance and improvements in state parks. Everybody in this room knows there's plenty of deferred maintenance that needs to be done on our state park buildings, on trails, and other improvements in our state park system. Not to say that these acquisitions aren't important, but I don't believe they rise to the level of urgency right now, and the money is better redirected to try and put some of our constituents to work so that they can have a paycheck, get themselves off the unemployment rolls, or worse yet, maybe they're out of unemployment and give them an opportunity to get a paycheck. $4.2 million, members, as I do the math, is 840 jobs. That is not insignificant, and it is a better use of this money in the depth of a deep recession than to continue to buy more land, especially when we're buying land that county commissioners don't even know that we're moving the boundary. So members, I'd appreciate your support.
Mr. President.
We're on the amendment, Senator.
Mr. President.
I recognize Senator Anderson at this point. Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Well, I strongly oppose this amendment, but before I give you the reasons why, I just want to ask Senator Bach a question. Senator Bach, the Lessard-Sams bill, which is the next bill up, which I am fortunate enough to be the author of this year and very proud to be carrying that bill as well, has more than 10 times the amount of land acquisition in that bill as in this bill. Do you intend to offer a similar amendment to that bill?
Senator Bach.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Anderson, I think the difference between the two bills, well, first, the short answer is no, I'm not going to. And then the reason is I would like to use this discussion as an opportunity for the people listening that sit on the Citizens Council on the Lessard Sam's money. I want them to hear this discussion. And the Lessard Sam's recommendations are totally citizen-driven. The recommendations on the LCCMR, what we're talking about right now, the majority of the members on the LCCMR are legislators. So the LCCMR recommendations are legislator, predominantly legislator-driven. They're not as citizen-driven as the Lessard Sam's Council. But I want to be clear. I think the people that are watching or listening relative that make recommendations on the Lessard Sam's group, they also, and I did write a similar letter the same day to the chair of the Lessard Sam's Council and make the same request of them that when they brought their recommendations forward that they give job creation a priority. We all know there's plenty of projects could be done out there. But I guess, Senator Anderson, the short answer is I'm doing the LCCMR because that is legislature-driven. I think that's more in our domain than something that is totally citizen-driven through the Lessard Sam's Council.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Members, I want to ask you to vote against this amendment, and I'd like to have a roll call vote.
There'll be a roll call.
Thank you.
Three hands. There'll be a roll call. Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First, I want to say that, as I mentioned earlier, I'm very grateful to the other members of the Legislative Citizens Commission on Minnesota Resources and the legislative members who spoke in support of this, who are members. This is a bipartisan, bicameral, citizen legislative process that put together these recommendations. And I hope, members, we would respect the opinion of all those other legislators who spoke in support of this package and the work and the time and the judgment and the wisdom that they put into these recommendations as well. And I'm not sure why we shouldn't respect this because it's legislatively driven. That is a strange argument, in my opinion. Members, what Senator Bach's amendment will do is take out some very strategic acquisition projects that are actually a fairly small part of this recommendation. We have $26 million in recommendations that cover a variety of areas. Out of $26 million, this is about $4 million, $4.2 million. And members, I hope you will refer to this map, which we went to the trouble of printing this in color so you could easily read it, and you should all have that in front of you. This amendment would delete everything on this map from the bill in front of you. It's not just in Senator Bach's district. This is a statewide list of projects that include, I believe you have the conservation easements also deleted in your amendment, Senator Bach. I haven't really been able to fully engross it. If I'm not, you can correct me. But I believe this is similar to another amendment I've seen in the other body. And so it would delete funding for strategic infill in some state parks. That's a small portion of this. As you can see, there's about 343 acres of infill, which would be in existing state park boundaries based on whatever the list is for state park priorities in the DNR. And this includes, five different state parks around the state, as you can see on this map. And again, these are existing boundaries set by law and taking very small parcels that will help complete the land in those parks so that they can be run more effectively and be used more effectively. And they take all of the land acquisition projects in here are ones that are strategic and important, and either have been acquired by a nonprofit or will be acquired by the DNR to avoid them being lost from public protection for a very good natural resource reason. We have WMA acquisition that Senator Bach is taking out of this bill, wildlife management areas. Those are the public lands around the state that are our hunting lands, because those are open for all public use for hunting, fishing, and other recreation opportunities. Senator Bach's amendment would remove those hunting lands. There's also aquatic management areas, which is acquisition or easement along very important parts of shoreland on lakes to protect those lakes, their water quality, and the public's ability to use those pristine lakes. And SNAs, which are scientific and natural areas, those are defined by law to be areas that have unique, endangered, or threatened species, unique flora, fauna, animals, critters that need to be protected, or they could be lost forever. Those species could be gone. And so these are unique parcels of land that should be saved for future generations. That's what this fund is for, to protect these types of lands for the benefit of the public, the benefit of the environment, and the benefit of future generations in Minnesota. Members, I want to address a couple of other comments Senator Bach made. He said there's $100 million, I believe he said, in deferred maintenance in state parks and trails. He's right. And members, guess how much money we put into state parks and trails in 2010 and 11? That's not for acquisition. Just about $100 million. I have a spreadsheet. Because we have the new Parks and Trails Legacy funding, last year in our two-year funding recommendations, including the Parks and Trails funding, the lottery and lieu dollars, and the bonding bill, and excluding money that's specifically for acquisition, which is a very small part of that, we have appropriated roughly $100 million for our parks and trails just in this biennium. We're taking care of that problem because the voters, in their wisdom, decided to set that money aside. So we are tackling this problem head on and making enormous progress in this biennium alone. So, problem solved. I mentioned Lessard Sams, and to me it just seems troubling that we would go after some small acreages of acquisition in one bill and then respect the process that put together a different bill. And I serve on both of those commissions. I respect the judgment and the work of both of the commission and the council. They work very hard. They are diligent. They follow the best things that science and conservation experts guide them to do. I strongly support both of these packages, and members, you should too. They're both good for Minnesota. Don't pick and choose. I also want to say, finally, Mr. Chairman, Senator Bach, you mentioned your county's, Lake County's, concern about the Split Rock State Park boundaries. As far as I understand it, that change is in the state lands bill. That is not in this bill. The state lands bill was heard in our committee, my division on which you are a member, Senator Bach. I don't believe that issue came up, and I wish we could have addressed that in committee. If there's a problem and there's not local approval, we should have debated that in committee. Perhaps we need to fix that in the lands bill. But we don't need to fix that in this bill by taking the money away from state parks. We need to address that problem and allow our state parks to flourish. And that's what this bill will do. So, members, please vote no.
Senator Bach.
Well, Mr. President, first two things. Senator Anderson asked the question about conservation easements, and I had never intended to do anything with conservation easements in this bill, and Senate Counsel assures me that it does not, that this does not cover conservation easements. It only covers acquisition that's in the bill. Just wanted to be clear on that.
Senator Dill.
Mr. Chairman, maybe I didn't hear things correctly, but I want Senator Bach to listen to this. And I was trying to do the arithmetic along with him, and he is indicating all these jobs that are going to be created. And maybe I didn't hear it quite correctly, but you're keying off the bonding bill, and if there was a billion-dollar bonding bill and 20,000 new jobs created, that's a cost of $50,000 per job, which that's probably a good index to go by. And then did you take if you took the 50,000 into 4.2 million, you come up with 84 jobs. And I think you said 4.2 million, or did you say 42 million? Because to get the 840 jobs you're talking about creating, it would have to be $42 million that you're going to be diverting. So if it's only 4.2 million, my arithmetic says it's 84 jobs and not 840.
Well, Mr. President, I'm not sure if my math is right, but Senator Dill, you divide the 20,000 into a billion, not the 50,000. You divide 20,000 jobs into $1 billion, and you come up with $50,000 per job.
But Mr.
Senator Dill,
Chairman, Senator Bach, are you diverting 4.2 million or 42 million?
4.2.
All right, so then you take the $50,000 into 4.2 million, you get 84 jobs.
Well, that'd be if that's what it is, Senator Dill, that's pretty important to those 84 families that don't have a job today.
Yeah, but I think in your original presentation you said it'd be 840 jobs.
I may have had the decimal place in the wrong place, Senator Dill. If I did, I apologize, but I don't have a calculator here to figure it out.
Senator Chaudhry.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm also against the amendment. Want to encourage members to vote against it, but I actually want to say that I do appreciate the discussion that Senator Bach has raised. There are actually a couple of points that he made that I do agree with, but there are many that I disagree with too. That Senator Dill just brought up, that we're talking a rough estimate of 4.2 million, you're talking about 84 jobs. But that's also assuming that land acquisition does not produce any jobs whatsoever, and that's simply not the case. When you're acquiring land, you are involving surveyors, you're involving potentially engineers, you're talking about appraisers, you're talking about real estate agents, you're talking about potentially advocacy groups involvement. So this, while you may create more jobs necessarily by actually a hammer and nail or actually prescribed burning or planting, you still are creating jobs when you're acquiring land. So that's a myth that has been purveyed by folks who don't think that we should acquire more land. The other thing I want to disagree with is what Minnesotans have a priority on. I agree that we have a priority on jobs, but we are talking about in this bill, the distribution of constitutionally dedicated funds that Minnesotans voted on. A majority of Minnesotans voted that this constitutional amendment should to create a lottery in Minnesota. Should have proceeds that go to the environment. And it's only 40%, by the way. Only 40% of the proceeds of the constitutional amendment that is contained in this bill goes to the environment. The rest of it goes to the general fund. So there are monies that are not going to the environment out of this constitutional provision that don't go to the environment. But that is a priority that Minnesotans have put on, that we ought to be devoting some of our lottery dollars to the environment. That is a priority. And it's the ultimate citizen priority, by the way, because you have to have only citizens vote on this constitution for it to take effect. So I think the people have really spoken that they want this part of the lottery proceeds to go to the environment, and that's what we're doing here. And it does create jobs. We are creating a lot of jobs out of it as well. The environment does create jobs. And some of it is through research in this bill. Some of it is through enhancement, restoration of environmental areas, and some of it is for acquisition. Remember, you cannot restore a parcel unless you acquire it first. They have to go hand in hand. You will not have the jobs that go along with restoring a native prairie, for example, unless you have acquired that land in the process, in the first place. And the auditor's report did not say that we should stop acquiring lands. It didn't say that at all. It simply said that, like every other state agency, they are lacking the funds to do as much as they would like to do. This was not a revelation. We know this. And we've been doing things over the objection of many members, I might add, to try and catch up. And we're finally doing that. These are highly, highly deliberated projects in this bill. We started the process for this bill in January of last year. Over a year, we've been deliberating this. A year ago, we determined the priorities of this proposal. In February of 2009, we issued an RFP. In May was the proposal deadline. June of last year, we took many, many site visits, legislators and citizens. July, we discussed the selection of what would be presented. Again in July, we had more site visits. In August, we had more site visits. In September and October, we had 6 days of proposal presentations. In October, then, we allocated 2 days of allocation recommendations. In November, we had appropriation language reviewed and then adopted. And then, after that, the research projects that were recommended were peer-reviewed by other scientists. So this is a highly deliberated proposal, and it comes after a lot of discussion. And I should also mention that I think that now is the time to purchase land. I don't think there could be a better time to purchase land, because we are getting so much more value for the taxpayers' dollars. Now, one thing I have to add is that I do agree with Senator Bach on a couple of points. I agree that it is a problem, from my point of view, that there is $4.2 million of land acquisition in this. I agree. But I think I have a problem with this only being $4.2 million of land acquisition. Because this is such a good time to be for our dollar to go so much farther in purchasing acquisition, because we are not making this land anymore. This land may not be available again, ever. And because in the urban areas we have a problem with sprawl, and because we have a new constitutional amendment that prohibits supplanting, I think the $4.2 million is not enough and should have been more. And that was a source of heavy debate in the LCMR, a heavy debate. And there are concerns among many members that this isn't enough. We used to fund acquisition projects more than this, but because of the other amendment, it's been going down. And I think that's wrong. I think that violates the supplanting provisions. But the fact remains is that we have a process that has been heavily deliberated. I simply, in the people with my point of view, did not have the majority opinion in having more of land acquisition. And I think this is still a solid package. But that's something that we really took a lot of time to debate in the LCCMR, and I don't think it should be changed by a legislative by a floor amendment. And then the last thing I agree with Senator Bach is that I think the Lessard Council and other other groups should take note of this discussion. They absolutely should take note of this, that in the LCMR we have an issue with supplanting, and I think that we've got to be addressing that in the LCMR in the future, but that's within the LCMR. I do appreciate the discussion. I think legislators, senators, did need to hear what has been going on internally for some time now, and as a result, we should vote against the amendment.
Senator Saxok.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm speaking against the A4 amendment. I think this is about land management, not land acquisition. And I agree with Senator Bach when he and the legislative auditor that it's at one point there were some unmet needs in terms of managing lands. But the legislative auditor also said that the plan. A plan has been established and is being followed. And that plan not only includes acquisition, but it includes exchanges and it includes conservation easements. It's all part of the plan of land management. So I believe this is just a part of what we need, and I certainly support Senator Anderson's bill, and I hope you do too.
Senator Frederickson and then Senator Murphy. Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, members, I too oppose the Bach amendment. There is one part of his rationale with which I do agree, and I'd like to give a little bit more information about it. I really think we need to be sensitive to jobs. And members, this bill, in a very conservative estimate, creates 206 full-time equivalent jobs, and that's by a conservative going through all the projects that are in this bill and putting some numbers to the individual being employed, and that's across the entire spectrum of expertise, from Minnesota Conservation Corps workers to researchers and engineers. Members, we have a beautiful state park system in the state of Minnesota. I believe it contains some 73 units, of about 68 of those are state parks. Our citizens enjoy those state parks. Way over 8 million of our citizens, the state parks have over 8 million visitations from our citizens, and also we're told by tourism experts, that individuals come from other states because of our state park system. They enjoy our state park system. It's a magnet to come to Minnesota, enjoy our beautiful natural resources and our state park system. Our state park system is not static. As already been mentioned, there will be several parcels removed from state park boundaries because priorities change, land ownership changes, and in Senator Scogin's bill, there are several deletions from our state park system. And there are also a few additions to our state park systems. And I find Senator Bach's assertion that counties are not consulted on those additions to be an anomaly. I take that Lake County was not approached, but my experience has been that the Department of Natural Resources does talk with townships and counties before they add additions to a state park boundary. And if there's local opposition, generally, the parcel does not get added to the state park boundary. We had a spirited discussion about how much for park acquisition should be in this bill. Other members wanted to use some of that $2.2 million for other purposes, whether it be for research, for water, for energy. So we had a spirited discussion within the commission itself as to what level of state park land acquisition we should have in this bill. And we ended up with $2.2 million. That's for Crow Wing State Park, 9 acres. For Scenic State Park, 160 acres. For Teteguch Park, 55 acres, and for one of our icons of our state park system, Split Rock Lighthouse State Park, 19 acres. In addition, Split Rock State Park has within it a historical site that attracts many tourists, many visitors each year. So, members, I would hope you would join us in defeating Senator Bach's amendment.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. And members, I tend to agree with Senator Bach on this. I don't know why we would want to be buying more land when we can't maintain what we already have. It just doesn't seem logical. We've got a problem in our state where we can't provide enough maintenance for our roads, our college buildings, our school buildings. We can't provide enough maintenance of effort for the things that we've got going on in health and human services or education. And we want to add to that burden. So I don't understand that, and I'm going to stick with Senator Bach on this. And, you know, when we talk about job creation, you know, the federal jobs bill that got passed, that ARRA money here several months ago, 6% of that money was spent to fix our infrastructure in our country. It created over 50% of all the newly created jobs of that bill. Now, folks, if we want to spend money and create jobs, I think that there's probably a pretty good place to put that money, and that'd be in our transportation services.
Senator Bach.
Well, Mr. Chairman, one other comment. Those of you that are not members of the Environment or the Environment Finance Committee might be interested to know something. Under current law, a group can go and buy a piece of land adjacent to a state park, make the purchase in consultation with the DNR, and then the next session come to the Capitol and the DNR would propose moving the state park boundary. Guess what happens? That group, and there are three of them that I know of, that routinely do this every single year. We allow in law DNR to pay 10% over the appraised market value of the land. So a group, and there's a number of nonprofits that do it, act as holding companies for the DNR. They work in very close consultation with the DNR so that the DNR identifies the parcels that they would like to include in the state park boundaries. The groups then go and make the purchase, and then we allow them, as legislators in law, we allow the DNR to pay 10% more than the market value of the land. And some of it's been held for a very, very short period of time. And I think one of the discussions that maybe should be had is that good policy? If a holding company works in consultation with the DNR to preserve a piece of land to make the acquisition, and then ultimately the intent is to move the park boundary, if they're just going to act as a holding company for that purpose, and then the next session come to the legislature and we take it off their hands, why do we financially incent them by up to 10%? If it's in the public interest to put that parcel in to the park boundary, why don't we ask these 501c3s, if they want to work with DNR, why do we have to incent them by a 10% profit by making the purchase and then holding it? Members, that's just something, there are a number of things I think the legislature has to get their arms around relative to land acquisition. Because there are pots of money. You know, Senator Langseth had $2 million in this year's bonding bill for state park land acquisition. We've already done $2 million for state park land acquisition. This proposes to do another $4.2 million. And let me just be clear, it puts the money into state parks in making improvements and in maintenance in them. Doesn't take it out of state parks, takes it out of land purchases, but puts all the money directly into maintenance and improvements in state parks. So nobody here should think that Senator Bach doesn't have a deep appreciation for state parks, because I do. 9 or 10 of them are in my Senate district. and I've been to every one of them, and I appreciate them deeply. I just want everybody to understand that. I have a deep appreciation for state parks, but I also think it's a problem when we're not adequately maintaining trails and buildings in our state park system and it becomes run down, and somehow land acquisition is more important than painting buildings or putting new roofs on. Members, I just think it's a very serious consideration for us to have. These holding companies, these 501c3s that make purchases and hold land, now have three places to go. They can go to the LCCMR for an application, they can go to the Legacy Fund for an application, and they can go to Senator Langseth for an application and kind of get their toe in the water in all three places to make sure they're successful at acquiring more land. And some of those acquisitions are important. Some of them are pretty rare. I supported the Lake Vermilion State Park one. It's on a very highly developed lake. So I'm not going to tell you I don't support land acquisitions. Where they're appropriate, I think, and there's a real threat of development, I think if the better use is for the public, then we should make the acquisitions. I'm just not convinced that because some 501c3s are holding these parcels, that they can't wait for a year so that we can direct the money to try and create some jobs. But with that, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to withdraw the A4 amendment.
The A4 amendment has been withdrawn. There are further discussion. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to offer the A51 amendment.
Secretary will report.
Senator Ortman moves to amend House File 2624, the unofficial engrossment as follows. Page 7, line 2. This is the A51 Ortman amendment.
Senator. Senator Ortman on the A51 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, the A51 amendment is very straightforward. It just clarifies our legislative intent that the $4.2 million in acquisition funds may not be spent through eminent domain proceedings, but rather must be a direct purchase with a willing seller. We don't want our private property owners at risk of eminent domain for this purpose, and I'm hopeful that everyone can agree on that, but I will ask for a roll call vote.
Three heads. Be a roll call. We're on the Senator Ortman A51 amendment. Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Ortman, this amendment takes me by surprise, so I'm trying to understand why you're doing this. There's never been any land acquired by eminent domain by the LCCMR, ever. And so what is the problem you're trying to solve here, and what are you trying to change?
Senator Ortman.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm struck by the surprise and the confusion. I think it's pretty straightforward. We just want to declare legislative intention that these funds should not be used for eminent domain acquisition. I think that's pretty straightforward, pretty clarifying of our intention with regard to these funds. If it's never been done before, then that's a good thing, and we can just clarify our intention for the future.
Senator Anderson? Senator Higgins, did you have a response?
Mr. President and Senator Ortman, in our eminent domain statutes, the proposed purpose for land being acquired through eminent domain has to be for public use or public purpose, which these properties could be. But it also is exclusively for the one of the exclusions is that it has to mitigate a blighted area, remediate an environmentally contaminated area,
reduce abandoned property or remove a public nuisance. I don't suspect that there are any properties like that next to any of our parks that the DNR would be interested in acquiring. Environmentally contaminated areas, I don't think so. I think your amendment may be well-intentioned. I'm just not sure that it is something that we need to put in this amendment.
Senator Ortman, did you have a response?
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't think that the explanation from Senator Higgins goes quite far enough, because we do have agencies in the state of Minnesota that use eminent domain powers for things beyond blight or other city uses, including the Department of Transportation uses eminent domain all the time. I think that it's important, if we haven't clarified this in law, that we do so now, that we don't intend these acquisition funds to be used in this manner. And it's interesting to me how many times I've argued that we don't need a bill, but we pass them anyway. This is one of those cases where I think maybe members actually agree with me that maybe it's not a need, but I think it makes a lot of sense to clarify.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Senator Ortman, the reason I was surprised is that I never saw this amendment before, and I've never heard of this as an issue for state parks. So I think it's a solution in search of a problem. The DNR does not have authority to condemn land or take it by eminent domain for a state park. So I think this is a red herring, and I just assume members vote it down. It doesn't need to be in the bill because it won't change anything.
Secretary will take the roll on the Ortman Amendment. All senators. Secretary will close the roll. In 33 ayes and 33 nays, the amendment is not adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have the A3 amendment.
Secretary will report the A3 Han amendment.
Senator Han moves to amend House File 2624, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 5, delete lines 9 to 17, page 7. This is amendment.
Senator Han.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And members, we had a discussion here with Senator Bach's amendment about the importance of maintaining the current properties that the state owns. I thought that was a good amendment. I'm sorry to see that Senator Bach decided to withdraw his amendment. My amendment that I'm offering, the A3, is similar in some respects. It is asking us to take about $2.677 million from the projects that are listed in the LCCMR bill and diverting that money to the asset preservation project under the DNR. Now, I've got a handout that is being distributed. This is a list of the projects that I'm proposing that we delete from the bill and use the funds for those projects for the asset preservation projects. And the reason for this is that, as I understand it, in the course of what the LCCMR does in its peer review process, it is looking at projects that are brought. We had some discussion about that, presentation about that process. And then these projects are rated by the members of the LCCMR on a scale of 0 to 9. And I believe that there was at some point in October of last year a discussion by the LCCMR of that they should take and propose projects to the legislature that pass a certain threshold of priority in this process. I think they were looking at a score of 6 or better to be included in the bill as a high priority project. What I've done here is I've said, well, there are 10 projects that did not get a 5 in this process. I believe that when you cannot get out of a score of 0 to 9 at least a 5 on a project, it is not a high priority project. And therefore, we should not, as a legislature, be saying, let's fund these projects that are apparently fairly low priority. And instead, let's do something that, as Senator Bach has mentioned, and I agree with him, is a priority. And as the legislative auditor has mentioned, it is a priority that we take care of the assets that we currently own. And so this is asking very simply that we take these projects, take them out of the list of projects that we will fund, and the funds that were going to those projects, $2.677 million, and use that to preserve and enhance the current land that we own as a state. And I would ask for a roll call vote.
There'll be a roll call. Further discussion on the Hahn Amendment. Senator Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I oppose the amendment. We've talked a lot about the process of putting this package together. As Senator Chaudhry mentioned, it started in January of 2009. It's an incredibly extensive, detailed process that goes through steps. And it's a democratic process, which means that we rank proposals, we hear proposals, and then we select them. And we vote sometimes if we don't all agree. It's kind of like the committee process, only a lot more detailed and a lot more time is spent overseeing every single proposal and considering it, more time than we're able to. And so I'm not sure why we should just second guess a few of those choices. It doesn't make sense to me that on the Senate floor we can have better judgment than those 17 people who spent hundreds of hours reviewing these and asking all the questions that we need to have to know that they're going to be good, they're going to serve the purposes of the Constitution and the will of the public, I believe. I just want to point out, members, that the projects that are deleted, five of them, are research projects or related to protecting water quality. And that has been one of our high priorities in the LCCMR for many years. And, of course, I believe it's a high priority for the people of Minnesota to make sure that we can identify contaminants in our water and how to reduce those contaminants, protect the waters so they stay clean. We also have several environmental education projects that you're deleting, Senator Hahn, in your amendment, and including an overall proposal that where the DNR would try to integrate outdoor education in our 7 through 12 public education system. And what I would say about the environmental education programs is that, again, the LCCMR has a long tradition of supporting the best environmental education programs that come forward, that we are very concerned, as are our committees, and we've had a lot of discussion in my division as well as in Senator Chaudhry's committee and even in the K-12 committee about the need to engage and connect young people to the outdoors, to nature, and to our traditions like hunting, fishing, and outdoor activities, and a love of the outdoors, because those activities are dropping and slipping. And if we don't engage our young people, we're in danger of losing that commitment to our outdoors and our natural resources that has made Minnesota such a strong and wonderful place in which to live. And many of these engage students by science-oriented activities and education. And again, that's an area where our whole country is slipping comparative to the rest of the world. Our science education is not keeping up with many, many other countries, and we need to engage our young people and our students in science-related activities so they develop that love for the outdoors, develop that love of science. And these programs are related to our science standards, so they are well integrated into our education curriculum. Finally, members, I wanted to point out that Senator Hahn also proposes diverting all these dollars into asset preservation in our state park system, I believe. And correct, for state parks. And I just want to remind you what I said about an hour and a half ago. If you look at the overall state budget, because of legacy dollars, we've been able to put significant new dollars into our state park and trail system. And overall, over the biennium, we have added over $100 million, including, if you include the bonding projects that Senator Bach talked about, less than $5 million of that is for acquisition of land. And the rest of it is for maintaining, operating, retrofitting, improving, and staffing our state parks. So, Senator Hahn, I'm a little surprised that you think $100 million of new money in taking care of our state parks isn't enough. You want to spend more for that. I oppose the amendment.
Senator Hahn and Chaudhry, and I think we know what the amendment does.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I would just like to remind the members that we do have the LCCMR that is a process involving citizens and legislators, and they've made recommendations, but there's nothing that says, whatever their recommendations are, that this body has to adopt them without question. We are all elected. We are here with election certificate. It is our job to use our judgment about everything that comes before this body, including this bill. Now, all we're saying here, all I'm suggesting, is that these projects are very low priority. Not that they're not necessarily good things, but they're low priority. And they were low priority according to the process the LCCMR had used to determine what they were going to spend money on. These are all projects that did not score at least a 5 on a scale of 0 to 9. And so they may be significant, they may be good projects, but they were not considered very high priority by the LCCMR. And all I'm suggesting is that it is a higher priority to take this amount of money and use it to fund the maintenance of current land that we own as a state. I don't know. I was not a part of that process. I did not hear all the debate, but you've got $300,000, innovative model for outdoor education in grade 7 through 12. $218,000, get outside, urban woodlands for city kids. $250,000, Minnesota's changing climate, engaging students through adventure learning. $160,000, digital photography, bridge to nature, teacher training. These may be good things. But the LCCMR process did not say that these were very high priority things because they did not get to at least half of the on the scale that they used. So members, all I'm suggesting is that let's use our judgment and say that it is a higher priority to take some money and make sure that the assets that we currently own are being preserved and not spend money on projects that were scored as low priority by the LCCMR itself.
Senator Chaudhry and Anderson and...
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to make an observation for those of you who serve on the education committees. On the first line of Senator Hahn's list, there's actually a correction that needs to be made. The model for outdoor education is $300,000 is actually a grant to the Department of Education. And so not only is this a breadth of projects and far-reaching for our environmental interests, but this is also helping the education budget. So I think this is, and I think that's one of the things that makes this innovative. It's not going to the DNR, it's going to the Department of Education that is interested in integrating outdoor education into our current graduation standards. I think this is probably the most innovative thing that we could do as far as the non-acquisition projects go. So this is more money to the Department of Education out of an environmental fund.
Further discussion, to Senator Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just want to be clear. Senator Hand suggests the LCCMR did not support these projects, and that is just not true. There's a first round of ranking, and then we have hearings on them, and then people decide they support things after listening to the presentation and asking questions. It's called a public hearing. And this package you see in front of you, by law, has to pass with a super majority of the members of the LCCMR, and it did.
Secretary will take the roll on the Hand amendment. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Are you up there? All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 13 ayes, 50 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion? Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A2 amendment.
Secretary will report the Youngbauer A2 amendment.
Senator Jungbauer moves to amend House File 2624, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 17, delete lines 4 to 16. This is amendment A-2.
Senator Youngbauer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, this has been an interesting discussion, and as you look through the LCCMR's recommendations, members, I have you look at where some of this money goes to, because really it seems like these appropriations start replacing or adding to other budgets that are already out there. The DNR, Bowser, we're funding the University of Minnesota on issues that, and especially as Senator Anderson brings up, water issues. My goodness, I wish we could just fund some of these folks from the university, from DNR, to maybe travel to California and study water recycle and reuse, since we're doing that sort of thing in this bill. Again, and I'll remind members that I have my water recycle and reuse bill here, that we can't seem to get any kind of overall support, though a lot of us support it. And we want to fund those things that are already done, that are proven for decades in other states, and yet we want to try things over and reinvent the wheel. And the A2 amendment actually takes out one specific thing in which a certain person is trying to reinvent the wheel. Members, what the A2 amendment does is actually removes the funding for the Will Steger Foundation. As Senator Anderson said, we do want the best environmental education. We do want the best science education. And to fund a partisan-driven foundation like the Will Steger Foundation seems to be a tragedy. Members, Will Steger is not a scientist, nor is he a qualified teacher. And so when we're looking at these education issues, we need to look at who's behind the scenes and why are we funding them under education. In fact, I hope members have been able to see his presentations. I think they're rather exhilarating, and actually they're kind of fun. But his presentations on climate change are not based on any science. Members, they're based on his thoughts and feelings as a Arctic explorer. There's no factual data in him. And in fact, you know, as a person that studied the climate change issue for the past 8 years and the science, I do find great humor in some of his presentations. My favorite example is his picture of the polar bear. And he shows you a dead polar bear, members, and says, this polar bear died of global warming. However, there's no autopsy. There's no other ways to prove that. And in fact, it's in direct opposition to the world's premier polar bear scientist, Dr. Mitchell Taylor, will tell you that, in fact, polar bears are not declining, and in most areas are so abundant that they actually cause a problem. Members, you can hunt polar bears for sport in Canada, in Greenland. There's not issues with polar bears. I find this extremely troubling to put money towards education for somebody that wants to be so partisan and biased in their education to children, to slant science in a way that has no proof and no verification. Yes, members, I am adamant about science education. I'm adamant about the environment. I am adamant about protecting our water resources, and I argue for it every day, and yet we want to fund people that want to do something else for some personal gain. When you think about this, it's actually going to be reviewed as well by the Union of Concerned Scientists. Well, members, maybe you ought to look at who belongs to the Union of Concerned Scientists, because I think it would be more aptly named the Union of Concerned Journalists. There's more journalists that are members here. There's very few scientists. There's a lot of people that are members of this organization, but it is not a scientific organization. We use these nice feel-good names to give our organizations credibility. We do not need the Union of Concerned Scientists reviewing something that our children see, because they don't have anything based in science. And lastly, members, the Will Steger Foundation gets continuing support from taxpayers. I believe last year was about 13%. And that some of that money, members, actually went to at least one person from our house to be able to take a trip. One of our house members got to take a trip to Copenhagen to the climate change conference on the Will Steger Foundation. And I don't think, members, we ought to be putting money towards things that probably fund some of our own people to do some nice travel around the world. It just doesn't seem like a good thing, and I hope you'll support me, members, and I ask for a roll call vote on this.
Three hands and a roll call. There'll be a roll call, Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, I really hardly know where to begin. Those accusations and smears are rather stunning. And, you know, if you ask a young person who's been to high school or been through the school system in the last 10, 15 years in Minnesota, who one of their heroes is, and many of them in Minnesota will mention the name of Will Steger. He's a Minnesota homegrown hero who has received numerous national and international awards for his work as a polar explorer. He was the first person to cross the Antarctic on foot in the world, and has, as I said, received awards from National Geographic and other organizations. And this proposal has nothing to do with funding anyone, any legislator, to go anywhere or do anything. This is education, members, and Will Steger's expertise is based not on his ability to get up and make a big speech, but on observation, on his travels and his observations of the Arctic. And for many years, what he has done is shared those with thousands of school children over the internet and helped them to understand what is happening in the Arctic. And that's what this is all about. This is about teaching school children about what's happening on the poles based on personal observation. And, you know, that's education. And I don't think we should be censoring the education that our children are receiving for political reasons. This is not a partisan or a political project. This is about education. So, members, please vote no.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members, I'm glad Senator Anderson did say that his presentations are based on observation, because, as I said, members, they are observations. They are feelings about what he thinks is going on based on what he sees. There is no scientific proof to anything he puts in his observations. And quite honestly, I've seen his presentation many times, and I can tell you all the reasons for the things that are going on. There's a ton of scientific proof. I just wish, if we're going to use that as an education tool, we would actually use the science and not base our education on feelings.
Senator Frederickson, and we're going to vote on this one. Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, members, I too want to oppose the Jungbauer Amendment. First of all, I think Mr. Will Steger excites individuals, students, to learn about our environment, about the Arctic, and I think that's good.
But more to the point of what I want to talk about, this is $250,000 for some very specific purposes. And it's first to the Commissioner of Natural Resources. Commissioner of Natural Resources is going to have control of this grant to make sure that it is spent the way that it's intended. But in addition to that, the law is very specific. It's to provide curriculum, teacher training, online learning, and grants to schools. And I can tell you, if that is not how this money is purported to be spent, the LCCMR and the Commissioner of Natural Resources would object and would not approve the work plans.
Secretary, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Jungbauer, I'm glad that you brought this amendment forward. And the reason is recently there was a Copenhagen conference in order for industrialized nations to come together and agree that there's a problem with global climate change and that it's due to a carbon monoxide cause. Isn't it odd, though, that that very conference of world scholars, scientists did not come to a decision? Did not come to a decision because of the doubts that are now being raised in the scientific community whether or not global climate change is caused by the carbon monoxide or dioxide that's being used as an example to justify it. Matter of fact, in the last 12 years, there has not been any increase in global warming on this planet for 12 years. And that there's a growing indication that we might be in a cooling phase. Now, the reason why Senator Jungbauer has brought this up is that this particular program keeps the illusion that we've got a global climate crisis going on based on science, and it's not based on science at all. I think it's very important for us to question whether or not global climate change, the warming of this planet, is actually happening. And scientific facts show that it has not happened in the last 12 years. I think that Senator Jungbauer's amendment is absolutely justified at this time.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. President, members. And I do want to clarify something on what Senator Fredrickson said, because within the proposal, it says specifically that this proposal is in order to engage people in climate change solutions. So once again, if we're assuming that there's some climate change issues that we can fix, and we'd have to be assuming those since they would not correlate with actual scientific data, then that education that the Steger Foundation would be coming out with is geared towards that. So therefore, it would need to be based on sound science. And it is interesting, too, because I just have information here. Just came out last Monday, I believe. The Pew Research Center came out with a new poll. And it came to the same conclusion that the Copenhagen Consensus of Bjorn Lomborg came out with a number of years ago, members. Out of 21 social and economic issues, global warming ranks last as a top priority by Americans because, members, Americans are understanding the farce of man-made global warming. They get it, and we ought not to be funding anyone with any kind of dollars that go through the state or federal government to continue this farce.
Secretary, we'll take the roll on the Jungbauer Amendment. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, not to throw gas on the fire, but Senator Jungbauer, I got like 5 buckets of diesel and about 100 gallons of gas that I'd just like to throw on this fire and say that, you know, when you got like 99% of all the credible scientists in the world that say that, you know, there is something to this global warming or global climate change issue, then I think we should probably pay a bit of attention.
Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. President. I hate to keep going, but it seems that members never want to come and visit my office and actually see the documentation of which I keep and which exists all over. This isn't hard to find. So, Senator Murphy, I invite you to my office. I keep extensive files. I keep extensive research papers. I would be happy to show you, and I believe you could maybe go look at the Oregon petition, the tens of thousands of credible scientists that actually have background in climate and other issues that signed on to that petition.
Senator Murphy.
Well, Mr. President, members, let's not be fooled about what's going on here. Climatologists look at the long-term effects of climate change. These weather prognosticators that you're talking about, Senator Jungbauer, go from day to day to day to day, and how often do they get it right?
Secretary will take the roll on the Jungbauer Amendment. All senators having voted. Desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. Be it 18 ayes, 43 nays. The amendment is not adopted. Further discussion, Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A5 amendment.
Secretary will report the Murphy A5 amendment.
Senator Murphy moves to amend House File 2624, the unofficial engrossment as follows. Page 26 after line 11, insert. This is amendment A-5.
Senator Murphy on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, members, this is going to take care of the whole issue that I think everybody's having here. This completely eliminates the LCCMR. I mean, it just gets rid of it. And then the money will come back to the legislature where we can talk about it in Senator Lanxess' bonding committee or in Senator Anderson's environment committee or wherever. And we won't need to depend upon a bill coming to the legislature that we can't crack open. Because that looks like that's the problem here, is that people have issues with individual parts that were put together. Now, I'm not a fan of taking away responsibility from our citizenry. And I think that adding the citizens to this panel was probably a good idea. But now we've heard some testimony, and I think Senator Bach had some, about, you know, maybe how these things are shaken out. And this is nothing against any of the members that are on the committee or any of the people that support a lot of the fine work that goes along with this. This is about how we have it set up. And I believe that we as a legislative body are the ones that are supposed to be looking at these individual projects and saying yay or nay. And members, I would ask for your support.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Murphy, obviously I oppose the amendment, but I also want to point out it won't work because you'd have to repeal the Constitution to get that money into your budget. Remember, the voters voted to set this money aside. It's in the Constitution that it's dedicated to the environment and natural resources.
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Anderson, that doesn't mean that the amendment doesn't work. It just means that the LCCMR, which I've never been a big fan of to begin with, especially when it didn't have any Senate citizen participation. It doesn't mean that that money's not going to be spent in the environment area or on natural resources. The money's still going to come in, and we as a legislative body are going to figure out where it's best to be spent. It could be on a park and trail. It could be, as Senator Chaudhry was discussing earlier, acquiring more property for the DNR. It could be, string bank restoration, whatever you might want to do, but it would be discussed in totality here in the legislature because we're in charge of the purse strings.
All those in favor of the Murphy motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. Motion does not prevail. Further discussion on the bill, Senator Hand.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask Senator Anderson a question about the bill.
You may ask a question.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Anderson, when we were talking about some of the amendments earlier, when I had in particular, we talked a little bit about the process, and you'd mentioned how these projects were brought to the committee and they were reviewed and they learned about things. And my question is, is the information that was peer-reviewed, is that available? Is that public information? Is that available to the public if we wanted to see what the minutes were or what the comments were or what the assessment was of these projects? Is that something that is publicly available?
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Han, if you would like to see the peer review comments, you can go to the LCCMR office and ask to review it, and you are able to do so.
Senator Han.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to offer the A50 amendment.
Secretary will report the Han A50 amendment.
Senator Han moves to amend House File 2624, the unofficial engrossment, as follows. Page 26, after line 11, insert. This is amendment A50.
Senator Han.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And members, my amendment is to a part of the statute that deals with peer review. There are some provisions in the current statute on what has to happen in a peer review process. So we are adding one segment to the current statute that says that comments and reports made by the peer review panel on all proposals shall be public information and made available upon request or on the commission's website. And so that's a section that is not currently in statute. I want to make sure that those things are available, and I think if we include this into the statute on peer review, it will be assured that that will happen.
Discussion, okay. Senator.
I'd like to have a roll call vote.
Three hands. One, two. There won't be a roll call. Senator Anderson.
We can't, though. Mr. Chairman, Senator Han, it might sound like a good idea, but then you won't have peer review anymore if you do this. And we follow National Science Foundation protocol on peer review, which is that you have to ask peers, scientific peers, who are the best qualified people in the field to comment upon a research project. And they won't do that if their comments are posted on the web. So if we adopt your amendment, we won't be able to do peer review anymore. What we do is make that information available if people want to come and look at it, and we adjust the project to meet the recommendations of the peers and what the peer scientists recommend. And that is publicly available information, too. But unfortunately, if you open this up that way, then scientists won't be willing to give really open and honest comments about what's wrong with one of their colleagues' proposals. And that would mean we'd have less ability to really make good decisions. So I would oppose the amendment.
Senator Ann.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Anderson, I'm not certain I understand that. Why would they be less willing if it's something that they think is not correct or they disagree with? It would seem to me that they would be obligated by their professional ethics, among other things, to make sure that their objections were known. I'm not sure why this would be a discouragement for them by keeping it secret. Why would that be better? I'm just not sure if I understand that. So, members, I just think that if we're going to have this process to review projects and then we're going to be asked to come and vote on those projects here in the legislature, there ought to be at least the opportunity for the public to understand what those comments are about and what went into the decision-making.
Senator Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, scientists are not like politicians who very willingly will go out and criticize each other publicly. there's a small community that are experts in different fields, and they work together. And so I think there's some reluctance to be frank about flaws in one of your colleagues' scientific proposal. And so we would lose that frankness. What we do have available for anyone who wants to look at it is a summary of the reviews. We can also, you can look at the specific peer review comments yourself if you would like to do so. And I presume if a member of the public wanted to go to the LCCMR office and look at that, they would. But I think you would destroy the ability to get some real helpful information if you did this.
Senator Hand, then we're going to vote on this one.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And members, it seems that this is the argument that we hear about why we should not have public hearings on things, or that open meeting law should not be available to the public either. I think that we're being asked to spend public dollars, and it seems to me only fair to allow the public to have access to the decision-making process that goes into those decisions. What is being said about the value of various projects? We're going to spend a lot of money. I think it is fair to say this is something that ought to be open. And all we're asking for is that those comments that are made about the projects, the assessment, the analysis, be available to the public, similar to what we would do in any other kind of public body that is making a decision about how the public money is going to be spent. And I ask for your support.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 22 ayes and 37 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on House File 2624. On the secretary. Senator Anderson renews her motion that when this committee do arise, House File 2624 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Number 51 on general orders, Senate File 2564. Senator Anderson, are you?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I now would like to present the recommendations of the Lessard Sams Outdoor Heritage Council, Senate File 2564. And members, just to remind you that this council is designated by law. It's made up of legislative members and citizen members.
Senator Anderson, do you wish to make your motion?
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2564 be recommended to pass.
Now discussion on your bill.
The Senate members of the commission are myself and Senator Bill Ingebrigtsen, and there are two representative members, and the remainder are citizen members.
Thank you.
And the legacy dollars that were passed by constitutional amendment in 2008, one-third of those are constitutionally dedicated to the Heritage Fund, which is set aside and designated by Constitution for the purpose of protecting, restoring, and enhancing fish, game, wildlife, and habitat for the outdoors. And this recommendation reflects that one-third of the legacy dollars, and the total for this year's allocation for fiscal year 2011 is $58.9 million. I'll just give you a brief summary of what's in the bill and ask Senator Ingebrigtsen to give some comments as well. The package includes 16,000 acres of Minnesota lands that will be protected either through fee title acquisition or through conservation easement, and 42,000 acres that will be enhanced. Most of those or a great number of them are prairies. We put a big emphasis on protecting and restoring native prairies and scientific and natural areas and wildlife management areas, which you heard about in the previous bill. And over 4,000 acres will be restored. And so this is helpful to think about in the context of the very detailed discussion we've had over the last couple of hours, that the Lasard-Sams Council, as well as the LCCMR bill, they both require that any land that's acquired, whether by easement or by acquisition, have a plan and funding set aside to restore those lands, so that we are making sure that as we move forward, we are not increasing the unmet need of land to be restored, but rather we're actually taking care of all the land that we're setting aside and putting dollars into restoration and enhancement so that we can begin to chip away at that backlog. This package includes a lot of leverage. Each dollar spent of legacy funds leverages 63 cents in matching funds, so it's a significant amount of leverage. And projects are found in this package in 82 of 87 Minnesota counties. Excuse me. One of the things we did over the last year that I think was very, very beneficial and was based on our law from last year was to do a strategic process of looking at different regions of the state based on the DNR's ecological sections of the state, and we divided the state into five major regions and set priorities for each region of the state based on the habitat needs in those areas. And I think that was a very helpful process because obviously we live in a big state and the habitat needs and the resource base is different in different parts of the state. So we really targeted the needs, and I think that drove us towards a package that is quite well balanced because it reflects the needs of the different regions of the state as well. And that process was a very inclusive process that took input from many, many conservation professionals and citizens and nonprofits, et cetera, and our state agencies from all around the state in a number of public meetings. The council reviewed 42 proposals requesting more than $185 million, and the final package that you see recommended here in its total includes 26 of the highest scoring programs. Let's see. I think I'll leave my summary at that and ask Senator Ingebrigtsen if he'd like to add anything. Members, I think this is an excellent package that focuses on protecting prairies, on protecting northern forests, on protecting our great rivers of the state, including the St. Croix, the Mississippi, the Minnesota River, and has lots of things that we can feel proud of and feel very good will represent the intent of the people of Minnesota who voted overwhelmingly to support these dollars to be set aside for this purpose.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and it doesn't work.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members, first of all, I'd like to thank Senator Anderson for carrying this bill. This bill was carried last year by Senator Saxhog. You may be familiar, it left the floor on a 67-0 vote. I see no reason why it can't do the same today. And the reason we can do that, folks, is you can feel comfortable about the group that's been put together by statute, and that's the Lasard Outdoor Heritage Group. We have an executive director, Bill Becker, who actually is here in the back of the room along with staff members. And you should know that there's four legislative members along with 12 citizen members from throughout the state of Minnesota. And what's unique about our committee, I think more unique than some, is that the chair, the vice chair, and the secretary treasurer are picked from the citizens of the group. And I think that's important to remember, and these folks are tremendous outdoor enthusiasts as well as practitioners. They really, just putting it plain and simple, know their stuff when it comes to the things relating to the Constitution. The Pioneer Press, even, if I might... make a note on the 6th of this month, written by Chris Niskanen, and I'll quote the article if I can. I don't think it's been passed out to you, but the Lasard Outdoor Council is the best governing body to tackle conservation in Minnesota. to ever tackle conservation in Minnesota. The quality of their recommended projects are very, very proof of it. So those are pretty high remarks from those folks that are out there monitoring this and watching exactly how the dollars are being spent, and I'm very proud to be part of that process. Again, I'm going to be probably repeating something that Senator Anderson talked about, but it's kind of important to know that $85 million worth of projects came before the council this year, 42 proposals total. And, of course, as she said, and they're right before you in the bill here, 26 projects that were approved through a process, a very rigorous process that goes on starting actually, we'll be starting our process next week for the next year's bill. So, and you should also note that we have, and it's very interesting for the rural groups, I think, and probably some of the more metro suburban groups, but there was always and always a question about whether the small groups are little small sportsmen's clubs for areas would ever be able to apply for any of this money. We've always made it for both years, made money available, and this year actually was about $4.4 million, and it's called the Small Grants Program that's administered by the DNR, and those people just apply for those, and they can be as low as $5,000 up to, I believe it is, $400,000. So we have some excited young groups out there that come from smaller areas. Also, it's of note, and I'm not sure Senator Anderson mentioned this, but every year we put aside some money due to the times that we're in. We want to make sure that we have enough money to fund the projects that we propose, so we set aside 5% every year, and that's about $1 million, and we've done that both years. I think that's real prudent budgeting, and that's what we've done. So, again, I want to thank the members and thank this body for allowing me to sit on that committee. I'm very, very proud to be there, and it's a real great working group, and the bill that's before you today is a very, very, very good bill. I don't remember exactly how many counties she talked about, but I know the first year we had 77 counties, I believe, of the 87 that had projects. So these are projects that actually do create jobs. So I guess I too would stand for any questions, but turn it over to Senator Anderson from here.
Is there further discussion on the bill? Is there further discussion? Seeing none, Senator Anderson, Senator Ingebretson.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just thought there might be some questions. I do have an amendment that I would like to offer, and at this time, if I could, it doesn't have anything to do with the, well, I guess I'll explain it in a second. It's an A1 amendment, Mr. Chair.
The Secretary will report the A1 amendment.
Senator Ingebrigtsen moves to amend Senate File 2564 as follows. Page 22 after line 7, insert. This is Amendment A-1.
On the amendment, Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, this has nothing to do with the list of projects that you see before you. Let me make that very clear. I guess ultimately it has something to do with it, but I'm not touching any of the figures. I'm not touching any of the good work that the council has done. And I know Senator Anderson has said we want to send this bill as clean as possible as we can over to the House to her and my and everybody else's credit. Last year we did send that bill over there very clean, I thought, 67-0. And where we had a real problem when we got to the conference committee was with the constitutional language being tampered with, we thought, in regards to the definitions. Now, what you're being handed here is actually, you'll notice on there, and I think you might have them already, the definition of the constitutional language is very clear, and off to the right, you'll see a definition of what the Los Angeles Outdoor Heritage Council came up with last year. And that's exactly what we moved forward with. However, when it came to the conference committee, if you move yourself to the left, you'll see there. That's where the changes came in. And ecological systems along with ecosystems has been added there. And that's where we have, Mr. Chair and members, a real issue with regards to how do you define ecosystems and ecological systems when you're potentially going to be spending money on projects that could include very, very many things. And the definitions that the Lessard group worked so hard for and worked hard on are the groups that are the definitions that reflect the folks out there that worked very hard on getting this amendment passed in 2008, or this constitutional amendment in 2008. And you should know that just yesterday we voted on Senate file 2830. Author was Senator Chaudhry. We voted 52-0 yesterday, and it actually talked about those very definitions. So yesterday we sent that that bill through here, through this body, again, correcting and clarifying the Lessard-Sams definitions over the definitions that the House had put in last year and put in statute. So this basically is a repealer, bringing the definitions back to the original form that they were last year. And I ask people, members for that support, and I'd also ask for a roll call.
A roll call vote has been requested. Are there three hands requesting a roll call vote? Seeing three hands, there will be a roll call vote. Senator Anderson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator Ingebrigtsen, I'm really disappointed that you're offering this without telling me you were planning to do this. And as I mentioned before this, if amendments go on to these either of these bills, my intention was to progress the bill. I don't think this is the place for the repealer, and I'll tell you why. I support the language of your amendment. I voted for it about 10 times already this session. We passed this unanimously on the Senate floor yesterday. The problem is this could hold up the funding. And I don't think that's what any of us want. We all know that the different sides on this issue of the definition are dug in deep. Nobody's interested in compromising that I've heard. And so I'm not sure why we want to drag down this funding bill in conference committee till the 11th hour of session. That sounds kind of familiar. That's what happened last year. That's why we ended up with these definitions. This is not a good idea to put this on this bill. If it passes, I will progress the bill. Senator Ingebrigtsen, I wonder if you'd consider withdrawing it. I also should mention, this language is in my omnibus bill, my Finance Committee omnibus bill, which is moving forward, which I intend to bring to conference committee. It's Senator Saxhog's repeal, which is the same language. I support it. We'll bring it to a conference committee so we can actually try to get this done. But I really don't want it to get in the way of this money going out the door and getting to work.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Anderson, I thank you for those comments and appreciate the process. However, I think you've somewhat made my point here in that if it's in those other bills, there's really no reason why it shouldn't be attached to the bill that it really, really pertains to here. When we talked earlier, I apologize for not totally understanding what you were talking about. I thought you meant about projects that were going to be amended, and I said there would be none of those, as I made very clearly. The definitions, I didn't think were going to be this big of an issue simply because we had passed them just yesterday on another bill, and there are some ones on other bills. So I see really no reason why we don't send a real strong message that the Senate on a 67 last year vote, 67-0, and just yesterday 52-0, that we aren't ready, we aren't willing to compromise on this. And I think that's the message this body has to send to the House. And I know there are some House members over there that are willing to go to battle over this, but there's also a lot of House members over here that support this, and they support the sportsmen and the folks that are very concerned about this throughout the state. So I can't withdraw my amendment. I think it's just simply another vehicle, if you will, to carry this definition thing forward and to tell the other body how seriously we really are about this.
Further discussion on the A1 amendment. Senator Chaudhry.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Will Senator Ingebrigtsen yield?
He will yield.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Ingebrigtsen, how does your amendment differ from the bill we unanimously passed yesterday?
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Senator Chaudhry, it doesn't, it's not a different, not different at all. It's basically the same language.
Senator Chaudhry.
Well, there's, here's where I fall on this, members, Mr. Chair. We have, and I support the policy of the Senate, and we've been doing a very good job of keeping recommendations of these councils intact. And I think we need to continue doing that. What Senator the curious thing about what Senator Ingebrigtsen is doing here is that it's an amendment, but it's an amendment that keeps the recommendations intact from the changes that were made last year and the recommendations of the council to practice conservation methods according to their decisions. So, and this is the exact language that I've proposed. I've been proposing all session, and we passed unanimously yesterday on a recorded vote. So if you want to look at the issue of passing these recommendations intact, you can also take the point of view, and I think I agree, that this amendment keeps the recommendations intact because it reverts changes that were made by the legislative body and not the council. And it has, as we discussed yesterday, it has proved to put some difficulties on conservation technicians and practitioners. This proposal in my bill from yesterday has no opposition. It has passed on voice votes from all three committees that it's been in this session. In fact, one of the repeals, the Native Prairie, was passed unanimously last year as well. So I think what Senator Ingebrigtsen's amendment does, even though it's an amendment onto the bill, it nonetheless corrects changes that were made to the LaSalle Council recommendations, and I support that. If this is a question of being dug in with the House, that's one thing. But the fact of the matter is that there's no opposition to this bill. In fact, on the previous bill, there was a letter dated April 6th from 44 organizations from the Parks and Trails Council, from the Nature Conservancy, Trust for Public Land, the Safari Club International, Ducks Unlimited, Bass Federation, Minnesota Outdoor Heritage Alliance, Land Trust, Audubon Society of Minnesota, that says that we need to preserve the council's recommendations. And I think that's what this amendment does. It was a big problem at the end of last session. And I think we need to move to correct that. I've become so concerned with the devastating amendments that have been passed in the other body that we need to, and under the guise of compromise, our goodwill in preserving these recommendations ends up being changed in conference committee. And so I think this is the most relevant bill for this amendment because it deals with the legacy amendment. These are the funding bills, and the definitions pertain to these funds. So it is the most relevant of any bill that we could put this on. And I think we need to send a strong message that we want to preserve the council's recommendations.
Senator Giles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Anderson, if you would yield, I would like to ask the question of, do you really believe that the House feels so strongly that they would hold all of the funding hostage and not allocate what the people resoundingly voted for and is being distributed by the means that they desired and was a part of the reason that they worked so hard to get it passed? They would actually not pass the bill rather than give up and do follow the definitions that this council has made in directly interpreted from the language of the Constitution. I mean, that their language has, obviously, we see that, but do you really think the majority of the House would stand for that? I mean, I think this actually gives a powerful hold. I think Senator Pogemiller was looking for another vehicle for this same kind of thing to deal with definitions. And that's, we need to get this resolved. And I think this is a prime place because I can't believe that the House of Representatives would allow this not to go forward over that definition. And I hope you would stand your ground and see to it that the bill is passed in the form that it is with this language.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Olson, I don't think that the House would intend to kill these funding recommendations. Well, I hope not. I don't know what they would do. But I do know that last session, the reason these definitions are in law is that we could not reach agreement in the conference committee on this bill. And so I'm not sure why we would want to set ourselves up for that again. To me, it seems like a risky strategy, and I'm more concerned, honestly, about getting these funding recommendations passed into law and getting the money out the door so we can put this money to work. We can put people to work. We can protect the land. I think that's a little more important than our debate about the words. I support the repeal. I voted for it, as I said, many times. I would like to try to make progress on that issue. But I fear that we're going to have a repeat of last session if we put this on this bill. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to progress the bill.
Progress requested, progress granted. The next bill on general orders is number 15, Senate File 2752, Senator Salzman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File Number 2752 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Salzman.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. This is a bill that went through the local government committee. It went through environmental policy, and it has to do with three properties that are on the St. Croix River. And first of all, I want to note this has nothing to do with recent court decisions regarding the DNR and properties on the St. Croix River. But this has to do with three properties that were in commercial use or being used by a Christian retreat center when the original Wild and Scenic River law was passed in the early 70s. And these particular properties remain in those uses today. One of them is a small property in Bayport. Another one is up in Scandia. It used to be a Crabtree's restaurant that many people probably went to get their famous Swedish meatballs and is now a garden center. And the third property is a Christian retreat center on the St. Croix River. And these are under the rural districts. Two of them have been annexed to either Scandia or Bayport and continue to be used for, you know, commercial use. And this law will allow them to receive a different conditional use permit and to remain in their current use. But they would have to go through the variance laws and work with their local units of government should they want to expand, but they would need to work with the current rules. When this bill went through these two committees, there was no opposition. I talked with different advocacy groups. They were not interested in the bill. After the bill came to the floor on second reading, I was contacted by the St. Croix River Association and have worked with them. And I do have the A2 amendment, Mr. Chair, that I would like to introduce. And this reflects some minor language changes. And I believe on your desk you also have letters from the DNR, from the City of Bayport, and from the St. Croix River Association that they either support or do not oppose the bill. So I do have the A2 amendment, Mr. Chair.
The Secretary will report the A2 amendment.
Senator Salzman moves to amend Senate File 2752 as follows, page 2, line 1. This is Amendment A-2.
On the amendment, Senator Salzman.
There, Mr. Chair, I just want to note that we made some minor language changes, but This allowed the St. Croix River Association to feel a bit more comfort with the bill. As you will notice, we removed the words as far as practical. They had some concerns with that. We did make it very clear that this is to impact the properties as they were on January 1st. So again, if any changes are made, but it does allow these C properties to continue their current use. And as the DNR letter also specifies, they are very, very targeted, and they do support the work that's been done in this area. So I would appreciate your support for the A2 amendment, as it does reflect work with different stakeholder groups over the past month.
Is there discussion on the A2 amendment? Discussion. Seeing none, the question occurs on the A2 amendment. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. The A2 amendment is adopted. Senator Saltzman.
So at this point, Mr. Chair, I would ask for support of the bill as amended. Thank you very much, and I stand for questions.
Is there discussion on the bill? Discussion. Seeing none, Senator Saltzman renews her motion. And when this committee do arise, Senator's file 2752 as amended be recommended to pass. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. We need either Senator Berglund, or if not Senator Berglund, then Senator Pogemiller.
Which will psychopaths? Which one? Berglund or
Senator Berglund, are you prepared on your bill? The committee has before it number 67 on general order, Senate file 3251. Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate file 3251 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Berglund.
Mr. Chairman and members, this is a Department of Human Services bill. It deals with the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. It adds language to create an additional option for victim notification when someone would be provisionally discharged. It allows the department to not be required to give advance notice to revoke a client on provisional discharge before picking him up. It adds language to clarify that the Minnesota Sex Offender Program is responsible for case management, supervision, and aftercare treatment for clients on provisional discharge. The counties would not be responsible for this. It reestablishes an evidentiary standard for the Supreme Court Appeals Panel, which was altered by a recent court case, and there's some other cleanup language that clarifies the difference between the sex offender program and the other MI and D programs that are run by the Department of Human Services.
We have a procedural problem here. The bill just came out of committee, and we did not waive the lie over, so we really could not be taking this up at this time. If you'll hold on for a second, we'll see what our options are in just a minute. Senator Berglund, at this time, you'd have to withdraw your motion. We might be able to go off of general orders, go back in the Senate, and come back on general orders in order to take it up. But right now, you have to withdraw your motion. We can still take it up if we get out of general orders and go back to the Senate. So,
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw my motion.
Thank you. Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee do now rise and report.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The Senate will come to order. Senator Polgemiller.
Mr. President, I move the report of the Committee of the Whole as kept by the Secretary be now adopted.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Polgemiller, if you wanted to take up Senator Berglund's bill, we'd have to waive the lie over, and then we can have to go back on general orders. Okay. Okay.
Sir, Mr. President, I'd like to recess so we could appoint a conference committee.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The Senate stands in recess. The Senate will come to order. Senator Polgemiller.
Mr. President, is there a privilege report at the
desk?
There
is a privilege report at the desk. The Secretary will read the privilege report.
Senator Polgemiller from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as a conference committee on Senate File 3147, Senators Erickson Ropes, Perry, and Olson M. Senator Polgemiller moves the foregoing appointments be approved.
On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Remaining on motions and resolutions, we have a motion. Senator Rummel has a motion. Senator Rummel.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that Senate File Number 3119 be withdrawn from the Committee on State and Local Government Operations and Oversight, and given a second reading and placed on general orders.
And Senator Rummel, this is your bill.
Yes.
And could you explain, you're asking the bill be withdrawn and be given a second reading placed on general orders. Can you explain the reason why? The bill's in a committee right now. Why are you having withdrawn and sent to the floor?
This bill had some minor technical changes, and Senator Rest reviewed them and suggested that it was okay to go. And so she gave me permission to withdraw them from her committee and move it forward.
Okay. Apparently, the bill came out of the Rules Committee yesterday, and it went to the State and Local Government Operations and Oversight Committee, and they have decided that they do not need to see the bill. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails.
Reading.
Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate File 3119.
Second reading. Any further motions? 13th order of business, announcements to Senate interest. Senator Foley.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Judiciary Budget Division will be meeting immediately following this session, and it's in room 112. Change there, 112.
Other announcements, Senator Pappas.
The Higher Education Budget Division is canceled for today. Sorry, members, it will not be rescheduled. That was our last meeting for the year. Also, I wanted to point out on your desk, you got invitations to the special tour for legislators of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Space is limited, so if you want to attend, be sure you RSVP by Friday, and if your staff would also like to attend, they can come as well, but they should RSVP through your office. So it's a very exciting opportunity. We'll have a tour, and then there'll be a reception for us.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. President and members, we were going to have a reception for the artist who is having paintings in Senator Marty's and my suite this session. And she has left, but we still have things to eat in our office if you'd like to come join us.
Senator Bonoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. In honor of the Week of the Young Child, the Early Childhood Caucus is holding a lunch and discussion on our early childhood bills tomorrow at 11:30 in room 318 in the Capitol. If you would, please RSVP so we make sure to have enough food for all members who attend.
Senator Saxhog.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division will meet 15 minutes after adjournment in room 107.
Senator Olsen.
Thank you, Mr. President. In honor of the Mighty Ducks, the legislative chapter of Ducks Unlimited is having a banquet tonight at the Kelly Inn at 5 o'clock for the social hour and 6:30 for the dinner. Jared Allen from the Vikings is going to be there for a while, and he's going to be signing some of the things that will be available for silent auction. Hope you can attend.
Senator Marty.
Mr. President, members, the Health, Housing, Family Security Committee will meet tomorrow. I think it's 12:30. Others who are interested in joining to hear about the federal impacts, the state impacts of the federal legislation, are welcome to join us.
Other announcements to Senate interest. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. President. I had a question for Senator Anderson. We had noticed that her committee was going to meet this afternoon at 12:30. I just wondered if she's still planning to have a meeting and what time and where.
She's not at her desk. You may have to repeat the question. Senator Anderson, a question of Senator Hand about your committee scheduled.
Mr. President, I believe Senator Saxhog just announced that my committee's meeting in 15 minutes. Thank you, Senator Saxhog.
Other announcements to Senate interest. Without objection, the following members would be excused from parts of today's session. Senator Clark all day, Senator Laurie from 11 o'clock to 12 noon, Senator Rest from 12:50 to the end, Senator Moss from 12:50 to 1:20, Senator Scheid from 12:50 to the end, Senator Scogin from 1 o'clock to 1:25. Other announcements? Seeing none, Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move the Senate adjourn till Thursday, April 15, 11 a.m.
April 15. Is the motion to Thursday, April 15, 11 a.m. On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. The Senate is adjourned.